Yeah, we're all living in America and blessed to be that way. So look, this is the Free Friday John Gibson podcast. So tell your friends, this is the free day for the podcast. They can get it by going to John Gibson Radio on Facebook or johngibson.com. And, you know, once they get a taste of the brilliance of this podcast, maybe they'll subscribe and contribute to the pittance that comes in every month to my bank account. So it's hard to begin. I think we have to deal with this business of the recount and the legal challenges from President Trump in various courts around the country, and what the Democrats think about all that. John Podesta, I mean, one of the consequences of the Joe Biden presidency is all these nasty old characters are back.
The congressional Republicans are really kind of pathetic. Finally, a few of them have come out and said he at least ought to have access to intelligence. But, you know, when will Mitch McConnell break? When will people do an intervention? Trump is kind of barricaded in the Oval Office. When are they going to go down there and tell him he's got to give up? I don't know.
Well, wait a minute. You were managing the campaign of the woman who said this.
Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances because I think this is going to drag out. And eventually, I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch. And if we are as focused and relentless as the other side is.
You know, can you really blame Donald Trump for taking Hillary Clinton's words to heart? You know, he thinks that it's going to drag out and eventually he will win if he is as focused and determined as the other side. Her words exactly. Why shouldn't those words be taken to heart by Donald Trump? Now, you know, so what is the state of things with these legal challenges to the vote counts? Jonathan Turley on Fox and Friends.
Do you see a clear legal strategy that they are pursuing at this time?
Quite frankly, I don't. I think that the Trump legal team has lacked focus and discipline in its message and its litigation. It really needs to ramp up its game significantly.
Yeah. Okay, having said that, what do you mean?
In the end, these things may fizzle out. It's just that they deserve to be looked at. This is a close election. And, you know, it's odd to hear these calls about abandoning all of these challenges. There are hearings scheduled to be heard. You know, Hillary Clinton said before the election that Biden shouldn't concede regardless of what happened on Election Day.
Yep.
In 2004, the Democrats refused to accept the Ohio certification in Congress when it was at the final stage because they believed there were still, quote, irregularities. We're better off if we just address them. And the irony is that Joe Biden is better off. This is unlikely to change the result, but it may change some minds if Joe Biden is viewed as supporting these reviews and saying to his campaign, stand down. Let's go ahead and let these things go forward because there's 72 million Americans that didn't vote for me. And I want them to trust that I am their president.
Well, yeah, I think Turley's right there. It was a little long and, you know, it carries on. But let's not forget, you know, just how two-faced these Democrats are. I mean, Adam Schiff, of all people, Adam Schiff, said this in two separate interviews that kind of stuck together because it was just so shocking that he would dare to say such a thing.
I do expect in the new Congress that, yes, they'll continue to try to go after Joe Biden, delegitimize Joe Biden. They won't be interested in getting things done. And if he can sabotage the next administration, he will do it.
I mean, no truer words spoken about Adam Schiff himself than those. No truer words. Tried to delegitimize President Trump for four straight years. If he could sabotage him, he will do it. And he did it. And yet he goes on television and says that shit with his straight face. So is any of this stuff going to actually, you think, overturn the present result, the result that we think we see right now? Brett Baer.
That's not to say that this vote is going to turn out that it's completely upside down. We haven't seen that yet. We have seen indications of strange irregularities in different states. We have seen transparency questions that are legitimate for parties that didn't get in on the count, 100%. What we haven't seen yet is the case that's going to overturn the state that changes the dynamic.
It changes the dynamic, that is, Biden won. Oh, by the way, Brett, in New York, Max Rose, who's a Democrat representing Staten Island, he lost the election to a Republican.
Democratic New York Congressman Max Rose, the Democrat, has conceded his reelection contest.
And, you know, the decision desk made the call, as we said last night, about control of the House. That was accurate. But their estimate about how many seats were going to be plus D was wrong, dead wrong.
That's for those of you who are really still pissed at the at the Fox decision desk about calling Arizona wrong, dead wrong. You know, but there's this other thing, and it, you know, maybe you've noticed it. I've noticed it. Tucker noticed it, that all of this, you know, carrying on about the vote count in a lot of ways is, I know it's to Trump's benefit if it turns out that he overturns the results as we presently know them, but it also has a, you know, a wonderful effect for Joe Biden in that nobody's paying attention to what Joe Biden is doing. And the press isn't asking. And the Biden team is like, wow, this is great. We can carry on in secret in this so-called transition while everybody's focused on Donald Trump and why he doesn't just concede. And it's really getting to be kind of obvious.
But whatever you do, do not cover the guy that you claim is president. Joe Biden is the president, and that's enough. Shut up. By the way, the Biden people are fine with this. They don't want to deal with the media either, so they're not dealing with the media. On Tuesday, Ryan Lizza of Politico noticed this. Quote, discouraging signs about the Biden team and press access so far, Lizza wrote. No regular transition briefings, no readout of calls with foreign leaders, no open press access to the candidate and his people. This is a break with tradition. Well, of course, it is a break with tradition, and it's worrisome, but you're not allowed to notice it. Biden supporters immediately screamed at Ryan Lizza to shut up. So what exactly is going on behind this news blackout veiling Joe Biden from public view?
Well, you know, among other things, what's going on is they're like dodging and hiding the president-elect's position on this lockdown, which is really getting to be an issue, because members of Biden's task force are out there saying, we got to lock down. We got to lock down again for 6 weeks. And, you know, there's legitimate questions about, well, what does the president-elect think? Is he going to come into office on January 20th and put the nation into a 4 to 6 week lockdown, which we all know would stretch out to, you know, 8 to 12 weeks and then 12 to 24 and so forth. And, you know, his spokesperson, this Kate Beddington person, is dodging the question.
Is that something that President-elect Biden is considering, a 4 to 6 week lockdown?
Well, I think he laid out very clearly across the course of the campaign the things that he wants to do to get the virus under control, including encouraging national mask mandates. You know, he's going to move forward on the plans that he laid out in the campaign that people overwhelmingly voted for in this country.
But what does that mean? No plans for a lockdown, but that could change. I mean, he's on the Michael Osterholm's on the task force.
There are steps that we can take now, again, encouraging people to wear masks.
Yeah, just she didn't answer the question. But the fact is, Tapper's right. Michael Osterholm And others on that task force are saying, oh, look, the federal government can just send everybody checks. All these workers can get a check. All these businesses can get a check. Nobody's going to lose any money because the federal government can just dole this money out and we can shut down from 4 to 6 weeks. We promise that's all it will take. I don't know. You know, and apparently Republican governors around the country are going, like, in your dreams, dude, we're not doing that. Now, you know, a national mask mandate, I mean, Biden can, you know, ask governors to ask their citizens to wear masks. And I don't think it's a terrible idea. I'm doing it myself. But, you know, this whole question of a lockdown is just, you know, frankly, insane.
Dr. Fauci, do you believe that we're headed for a national lockdown?
You know, I don't know. We would like to stay away from that, Robin, because there is no appetite for locking down on the American public.
No shit. Dr. Fauci. And meantime, Jake Tapper, on, as one of these, you know, coronavirus task force doctors on, and is talking about the CDC guidelines.
The new CDC guidelines for small gatherings include keeping music levels down to avoid people singing or trying to shout over the noise.
Enjoy Thanksgiving, even though it's a COVID Thanksgiving.
Yeah, a COVID Thanksgiving. That's what we have coming up here, like it or not. You know, this is... this is pretty crazy stuff. I think we're facing another lockdown, and it's, you know, it's because there is so much hatred for Donald Trump. I mean, they're just basically going to say Biden has to put us into a lockdown because Trump didn't do his job, and we hate him. We really do hate him, by the way.
This week, 82 years ago, Kristallnacht happened. It was the Nazis' warning shot across the bow of our human civilization that led to genocide against a whole identity, and in that tower of burning books, it led to an attack on fact, knowledge, history, and truth. After 4 years of a modern-day assault on those same values by Donald Trump, the Biden-Harris team pledges a return to norms, including the truth.
The truth. Sorry about that little bit of Jake Tapper popping up in the middle of that. And one of the other things that's occurring, which is taking the attention off the Biden team and what they're doing, is Obama. His book is coming out. And he's interviewed for 60 Minutes, and they've released this clip from the interview, the 60 Minutes interview by Scott Pelley.
What are these false claims of widespread election fraud doing to our country right now?
They appear to be motivated in part because the president doesn't like to lose and never admits loss. I'm more troubled by the fact that other Republican officials who clearly know better are going along with this, are humoring him in this fashion. It is one more step in delegitimizing not just the incoming Biden administration, but democracy generally. And that's a dangerous path.
Okay. Now, first of all, let me break that down a little. First of all, let's start with that question.
What are these false claims of widespread election fraud doing to our country right now?
They appear to be motivated.
You just are out of your mind, Scott Pelley, if you think that is a question. And then Obama said this.
It is one more step in delegitimizing not just the incoming Biden administration, but democracy generally.
Well,
and that's a dangerous path.
Well, wait. You guys spent 4 years delegitimizing the democracy that elected Donald Trump. And now you're getting all high and mighty? Tucker on Obama's book.
The book is 768 pages long. Here are the cliff notes. Barack Obama is a genius. You are a racist. Here is Barack Obama's explanation for why Donald Trump won in 2016. Quote, for millions of Americans spooked by a black man in the White House, he promised an elixir for their racial anxiety. So Trump won because you're a racist.
Yeah. You're going to hear a lot of that. I mean, because Obama's going to be everywhere. He's going to be on The View. You know, he's going to go on The View where the conversation is so intelligent and uplifting.
It occurs to me that Trump is so evil at this point. I really think he's evil. I think he absolutely relishes the idea that things are getting worse and it's going to be in Biden's lap. I really think he likes that. That's how sick he is.
I can promise you, Obama is going to sit there next to Joy Behar, who says shit like that. And then there's Whoopi, who is, by the way, it's Whoopi's birthday today, and she says shit like this.
We could also make it financial and say, you know what? Here's the fine for not wearing your mask, because every time you don't wear a mask, you send in somebody to a hospital that has no room for them.
Now, that is pure idiocy. Pure idiocy. Every time you don't wear a mask, you're sending somebody to the hospital. I mean, a day or two ago, Sonny Hostin on that show, I mean, ABC ought to be ashamed of themselves for that show. Sonny Hostin said, we have to take people like Stephen Miller, Mike Pompeo, Mark Meadows, all these people who have facilitated Trump in his administration, and make sure they never work again. You know, this rule extended out to the people who voted for Donald Trump, and I don't think they're that far away from demanding that, means that you're canceled too. You lose your job too. 71 million people voted for him. 70, according to these figures we have now, 74 million people voted for Biden. Well, 71 million people is a lot of people, and they want them canceled. They want them scared. They want them feeling like they're being chased out of town. So they shut up, as Tucker keeps saying. So they shut up and don't ever think about voting for a guy like Trump again. It's, you know, the reckoning is coming. And, you know, maybe Joe Biden is enough of a moderate that he won't participate. That could be true. But his people are, you know, they're going to go out and make life miserable for a lot of people in revenge. How dare you have done this to us for 4 years? We're going to get you for that. Okay, let me go to the mailbox. Those of you who are new to this, you write me at host@johngibson.com if you'd like to hear your note read on the air. Today I get something from Doug in Pennsylvania. Hey, Gibson, when we start giving out the vaccine and the infection rate rolls back to near zero, like the death count, will we finally admit Trump won? Would be a good test of Trump's success to not share the vaccine with other countries and see in the end who has the highest death count. I submit to you that facilitating the invention and administering of a vaccine and therapeutics counts when measuring success in the battle against COVID. Doug in Pennsylvania. Owen writes, and he wrote, I read his letter yesterday. He was asking about the relationship between Trump and Fox. And, you know, it's kind of hard to predict, because it's hard to predict anything that Trump is going to do. But so Owen writes, thank you so much for giving such a lengthy and insightful answer to my question about Trump and Fox yesterday. I'm trying to remember what I said, but I think it was that if Trump thinks he's going to go out and start another network to compete with Fox and dominate, or buy into, let's say, Newsmax, which his buddy Chris Reddy owns, or buy OAN, and, you know, sort of Trump, if you will, Trump Fox, I think he's dreaming. And what I said was that, you know, I worked in the startup of MSNBC and Fox, and I can tell you that starting a cable news channel is agony trying to get people to watch it, because television watching is largely a matter of habit, and millions upon millions of people have gotten habituated to watching Fox, even though they're mad at Fox right now. And by the way, I noticed yesterday that, you know, that Fox is going all in with its reporters, not just its opinion people, but all in on telling Trump there was no cheating in Nevada. There was no cheating in Pennsylvania. I mean, Eric Schahn put the guy on who's the election commissioner in Pennsylvania. Just, was there any cheating? No. Jonathan Hunt put on the election commissioner in Vegas. Was there any cheating in Nevada? No. End of story. So, you know, I mean, that's, you know, the news people at Fox are news people. But when you see something as definitive as that, I mean, I'm sure that's what the reporters believe. They talk to people and that's what they believe. But putting it on in that definitive way seems to me to be a memo from on high. This is what we're going to do. Back to Owen's letter. I know you were curious about where I am from. Oh, was I? And to answer that question, I'm from Boston. And I'm also going to give you some clarity about the speculation that Elizabeth Warren might be going to Biden's cabinet. That is not happening. Massachusetts has a Republican governor, Charlie Baker, who endorsed Kevin O'Connor, who was the Republican nominee for Senate, but unfortunately lost to Ed Markey. If Warren went to the cabinet, Baker would select O'Connor to take her place, which would cost the Dems a Senate seat, which I don't think they want to give up. As much as I'd like Warren out of the Senate, her being in the cabinet is a lot more frightening. One final note. I flipped to CNN on Election Day morning, and one of their reporters was in Ohio at a polling place, and he asked the guy who he was voting for, and the guy replied, "The Democrat." The reporter then asked, "What's the Democrat's name?" And the guy rolled his eyes and said, "Yeah," and just walked away. If that's not the definition of a shy Trump voter, then I don't know what is. Okay. Write to me at host@johngibson.com. For those of you who are new to this program, we have a regular who calls in on a regular basis. And I put on, you know, at the end of the podcast, because he is my voice from Black America. His name is Khalil, and we have given him a special shot, a special spot on this program.
Hey, old John, it's me. That's Black.
Yeah, Khalil called in just in time to make the program.
Hey, yo, Snowman, it's me. Man, oh, what a night. Yo, have you noticed the price of gas, man?
Yeah.
I know, I don't know about gas, but diesel has jumped about 8-10 cents since Biden supposedly next president.
Khalil's a truck driver.
Just the beginning of things to come. But you have the lockdown, that's coming. on this stuff. So I just wonder if when these people that said that they were Republicans or conservative and they voted for Joe Biden because they supposedly disliked Trump so much. My question becomes, how far was your head, how far was your head up your ass that you didn't see shit? Because the fact is, all this stuff that's coming down, all the stuff that they want, AOC, Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, they're coming after this guy, and they're demanding that he gives them their place in his administration, and they're going to tear this shit up. Point is, how far was your head up your ass that you couldn't see shit? That is the whole thing right there. This reminds me of the time when I asked you before, I said, why did you move to Texas?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I asked you about moving to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, well, you moved to Texas so you would never have to call a black person the N-word. And I was like, what?
I said that.
You moved to Texas so you wouldn't have to call a black person Negro? You was like, no, you moved to Texas so you would never have to call a black person neighbor.
What?
And as long as you never had to call a black person neighbor, you'll never have to call them the other N-word, right?
No. That is bullshit.
You always call your favorite Negro.
Oh, God.
He is demanding that you say it out loud. Mm-hmm. You know he's half slave, right? One-third slave.
This is a dog he's talking about.
Rich.
Yeah.
Where you at?
He's getting tests, man.
Where you at, Rich?
He had a big operation. He's getting tests.
Come on, boy.
He had a liver transplant.
Right. I called you boy.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
B-O-I, not B-O-Y. Come on, boy. Oh. Let's see what you got, baby. Yo, man. No, man.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to call it a day, baby. Me and Jacquard getting ready. Go back to the shop. Get everything straightened out here. Jacquard! Yo, let's go. Beat my ass up. It's Friday. The John Gibson Podcast, baby. Nothing better than have on a Friday. Yeah. Alright. Hey, John.
Mm-hmm.
This shit is getting imperative, man, that you say it. So, you need to come on. Yeah, beam my ass up, man. Yeah, you know I'm tired. Alright. Yo, snowman, peace. I'm going, baby.
Khalil's a truck driver, for those of you new to the program. He's on this jag about the word Negro, because one day I used the word, I think I was saying that used to be a word that was in common use. Martin Luther King talked about the, you know, the problem for Negroes in America. But now it's become a forbidden word. And you get canceled if you use it. And he's just trying to bait me into saying it. But, you know, there you go. So today, those of you new to the program, right at the end here, I always play a birthday song. I notice it's Whoopi Goldberg's birthday. She was born in 1955. Her name, by the way, is Karen Johnson, born in Queens, New York. And so she's 65. She goes on Medicare today. She's going to find out the hard way that the company health plan at ABC doesn't cover her anymore. And Medicare takes over. So, you know, good luck, Whoopi. And I did look up to see if there was a song that I could play of Whoopi Goldberg singing, because she's listed on Wikipedia as an actress and a singer. And it was not a good way to end this program. So I looked ahead on the calendar for the weekend and found out that Petula Clark's birthday is on Sunday. She was born in 1932, which I think makes her 88, if I'm doing the math right. And when she was 35 years old, she had this hit. Petula Clark, it was 1967. I used to think the Beatles' first hit in this country was 1964, and you would have thought that that kind of singer would have lost to the more rock kind of stuff like the Beatles. 1967, it was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band. And yet Petula Clark had a big old giant hit. And good for her. I always liked her. Yeah, we are living in America and everything that entails. So the count goes on. I'm of the opinion it's not going to change the result. I think Trump ought to, stand down if it really isn't going to happen, so we can focus on the screw-ups Joe Biden's team is already making. Can we please do that? Write to me at host@johngibson.com. Follow me on Twitter at Gibson Radio, and don't forget, call the Bitch Box at 859-544-2766 and tell your friends, subscribe to the John Gibson Podcast at johngibson.com.